Hour two of Three and Out kicking off right here in the Fan Run Studios. Ben Lee, Billy Williford, and intern Will Stevens. Will Stevens. Breaking down a little bit of the NBA draft, talking Tennessee players, apparently. If you missed anything, you're kind of like my friends, whenever we do the Talk Sports podcast, they just wait. They just wait for the first hour, and then fire that up as soon as hour two starts. No commercials by the time it ends. Hour two is pretty much done or getting loaded. They fire that one up. No commercials. Just saying. But also listen to us live.
We love commercials.
Because the sponsors like it when you do that.
Yeah, we love commercials.
Just saying. But if you want to check out the podcast, it'll be up on SoundCloud whenever Will decides to do his job.
Yikes.
It'll be soon.
Oh, it'll be soon? Are you going to do it like during the segment, or are you just going to wait over there until the break? Or because, like, not again to call you out, like I said, you could talk if you want. You said you had the mic on, but you're just sitting back there. If you're not really going to contribute, you could at least, do the production work.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'll keep everything under control over here. It's my first time by myself on the soundboard, so I'm
also I want to point out that whenever it used to be a three-man show on Talk Sports, shout out Cam for making my life easier. Whenever it was a three-man show on Talk Sports, I would just have the podcast laptop next to me up there. So whenever I hit next on the computer, I could just hit pause on the podcast. That way, you're not yelling at Will every time we go to break, and he's not freaking out every time he clicks next on the computer. Just a thought. All it takes is switching this cord to that box over there and moving the computer. I'm just saying, just a thought. Back to Admiral Schofield in the draft. Got picked number 44. Slipped a little bit from what the quote-unquote experts were saying. They kind of had him in the 30 to 38 range, somewhere in there. So he slipped a little bit to 44 with the Wizards. But as we said, they want him for his 3-and-D ability, for his just grind mentality.
He has a terrific motor. That's one thing that you can say about Schofield. You kind of mentioned the defense. I thought the whole team didn't play defense very well last season, and so
it was definitely weird. Like last year, or not last, I guess two seasons now. We're just gonna say what I did 2 years ago. I guess whenever we went 26-9, that's what we'll call it, 26-9 year. It was defense centric. Everyone was, we're gonna D up our guy. It was a very, like, I mean, I think it showed from Grant. Admiral Lamonte was pretty good last year, or not last year, 2 years ago. That year, on the defensive side, made point guards and shooting guards alike very uncomfortable on that side of the ball. Same with Bone. You're right. It did all slip this year. It was weird. Like, it seemed like last year it was all defense, and this year it was, let's focus all on offense now. We got to get our shooting up. We got to get these shots in. And I feel like Rick Barnes at the time, right now, is kind of feeling out, like, how do we kind of get this medium? Like, we don't necessarily need to score 100 points a game. We could probably score like 80 to 85 and try to play defense to where they're only getting like 60. If we could find the happy medium there, where we're D'ing up to hold teams to 60 to 70 points a game and only really wanting to get to the 80, 85, 90 mark. I think, it was weird. Like, seeing the transition last year where we went just like, we're just going to shoot, we're going to be fast.
It was almost like offense came too easy, too quick,
They
weren't expecting it.
They were not expecting. They did not know that Admiral had been sneaking into the complex, getting those shots up at 7 o'clock in the morning before anybody else is getting there.
on the NBA level, I think it. I don't think it's a bad fit. I don't. I thought Admiral was one of those players to where you could realistically make the argument that he could fit in on any team just because of his versatility. Like you were mentioning, I don't know if he can guard the ones. I mean, Dame Lillard, I think, would just make him look silly. However, you're right, though. He can guard twos, threes, maybe some smaller fours. I don't think it's a bad fit. We'll see what happens. He joins Jordan McRae, former Vol.
Is he with the Wizards now?
He's with the Wizards. He played 27 games last season
with
the Wizards.
Shout out. Former NBA champion Jordan McRae,
so,
I might point out.
You know, that should be pretty good for him. And then, like you were mentioning, we had one more Vol.
One more Vol
in the draft.
I don't know how to explain this, because Jordan Bone wasn't necessarily my favorite player this year, but whenever it came to the draft, I was so in the he's going to get drafted camp that whenever it started to kind of sound like he was going to slip or have to go play Euro ball, I was like, no, he's going. And I was so staunch on it that I was like, I'm just going to, you know what, this is now going to be my guy. Wherever he goes, I'm going to go all in for J-Bow. J-Bo.
You know, you made a good point. It could have been because he's our guy, right? He's a Vol. He's a VFL.
Yeah.
And when last year, the station was one of the first people to say that, you know, Bone is not only the best point guard in the SEC, he's one of the best point guards in college basketball.
Yeah.
And to hear scouts say he's not even a top 120 player, it kind of stinks because we saw the potential.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it every single game. Like, it was like flashes of Russell Westbrook sometimes, just getting the ball in on the low post on the wrong side of the court and beating every other person down there and still being able to stop and set up an offense. Just stop on a dime. Or what I love is the going 90 miles an hour, stopping at the high post right there at the free throw line, a little bit off to the left or right, rising up above everybody else and knocking down that jump shot.
And that's his game.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. You were talking about the mid-range Jays kind of leaving basketball in general.
Yeah.
That's not going away because that's transition.
Yeah, you can't stop that.
And he can do that anytime that he wants, even at the next level. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. He shot 53% from inside the three-point line last season. And that was a lot of pulling up at the free throw line, getting all the way to the rack, and then he's even got a little floater on him.
Yeah, I love that.
That all translates to the next level.
Yeah, his ability to slash is going to benefit him a lot at the next level. I think I was in the camp this whole time that someone is going to take a flyer on Bone because of that athleticism. We have guys that are drafted every single year based on just potential. Why would Bone be any different? I mean, he's not small, but he's not big. Like 6'3" in the NBA is kind of a smaller point guard. They kind of like to be in the 6'4" range, 6'4", 6'5" range. But with his ability to just slash and get past everybody, his speed and his vision, really, like some of the passes that he's able to make just don't make sense sometimes. Him being able to drive and then throw the ball back basically over his head to Admiral at the top of the key was one of the things that I always stressed me out, but was like, if it's going to happen, like if someone's doing it, I'd rather it be him. I'd rather Bone be having the ball and driving and doing that stuff. If Lamonte's got the ball, just go ahead and try to lay it up. Just go ahead and try to get the foul. That's your thing. But Bone, I mean, you're right. His ability to slash, get to the rim, pull up on a dime. That's the thing. It's just run, like he's able to go full sprint to nothing in an instant.
You can't teach speed.
You can't teach that kind of control. Like people don't have that in a natural state. You know what I mean? Like that's just that's just something that like he has. Like he's going to be able to as soon as a big man switches on him, as soon as we got a 3-4 or a 5 guarding Bone, he's going to be able to he should be able to get them out of position fairly easily because he can change speed, and he said it himself, I don't go 100% all the time. I go 80, then I go 70, then I crank it up to 90, then I'm down here at 60. I keep them wondering where I'm going to run, how fast I'm going to be, who I'm going to switch on to. So his ability to kind of control that and like the stop on a dime factor is what always gets me. Like just he goes full speed and all of a sudden boom, and plants. Like people like you're going to see for probably the first time in a few years, guards and threes just tripping over themselves because Bone is making them look silly out there, assuming he can get the spot. Because as we know, round two picks aren't necessarily guaranteed. You still have to play your way onto the squad, play your way into a contract sometimes.
He'll be on the summer league, roster,
and
he'll be able to show out there. I think you saw it sometimes in transition where he's kind of not lollygagging, but he's kind of just cruising, and then the defense plays him to cruise the rest of the length of the court, and then he turns it on 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Tennessee got a lot of easy buckets.
Where's Rod?
Because he was able to do that.
Where's Rod? We need Black Shear updates. Just got to tweet in. Any Black Shear updates? Ah, no, we don't. We need Rod. Where's Rod?
Well, Rod's got Gary and Juanita. They might have some information for us.
Who the hell are Gary and Juanita?
That's who Rod gets his information from.
Okay, stick with us. It's 3 and Out here on Fan Run Radio. We're going to figure out who Gary and Juanita are, I guess, on the other side. Can I please talk about the top of the line players now? Have we done enough? Like,
yeah,
given you junkies enough?
You let us talk about our guys.
These boys.
Our guys.
Have I given you junkies enough of the Tennessee to hold you over for a little while?
Go ahead. I guess it's important.
Get into some actual NBA news.
Go ahead.
Not that our boys going to the NBA isn't actual news. Grant was a first-round pick. Love that. The house exploded. I don't know if I told you guys. I was at John's house last night watching the draft with.
Thanks for the invite, John.
Sorry, guys. I mean, John's house. I mean, Billy, you're still kind of new. I think like is the it wasn't everybody. Like it was just a few of us. Like just like me, Cody, John, the Blitz. Some of the drive.
Everyone except for Billy.
No, it was just me, John, Cody.
Thanks, John.
Rick, Brandon, Bear. Intern Parker was there for a little while, I think. He left to play tennis at like 8 o'clock, which seemed weird to me. I think he was lying. I don't know why he would lie about it, but
that's
like,
definitely a fake phone call. I gotta go.
He literally was like, oh yeah, I gotta head out. Like he basically watched Zion and Jaw get drafted. He's a Grizzlies fan. So he saw Ja get drafted, and was basically just like, "All right, I gotta go. I gotta play tennis." And we were like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to play tennis." And John was kind of just like, "Oh, I've always wanted to do that. Are you good?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'm really good." And he was like, "Oh, I don't want to play you if you're that. I don't want to play you if you're really good." And Parker was fairly confident. He's like, "Yeah, I'd give you this work," and just said like, dead silent. Just, "I'd give you the work," and just stared at him. And John was like, "All right, have fun." Like, but I feel like intern Parker was lying to us. I feel like he might have had like a date or something. I don't know. But yeah. So as we know, one of the great generational talents, Zion Williamson, going to the Pelicans, number one overall. Next up, Ja Morant from Murray State. One of the more overlooked guys at his in his time in high school. I mean, like, you see the flashes. You see, I mean, like, you saw the highlights. I'm sure you guys watched the game against Marquette in the NCAA tournament where he just made, I think his center's like 6'8", 300 pounds, and made him look like an NBA player. Ja is one of those guys that I think is going to transition really well into the NBA just because his ability to see the floor. He has incredible passing ability. His dribble drive is phenomenal. And really, his work with the left hand, and I honestly don't know what hand his dominant one is, but it was impressive. I'm going to point to the Marquette game because that was really the only Murray State game I watched. I tried to keep up a little bit with Ja Morant since the beginning of the season because I kind of heard his name getting tossed around. Wanted to kind of catch up on him. I always like the smaller school guys. I think they're cool to watch kind of come up if they make it. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say Ja was still like a 4-star coming out of high school, but people kind of passed him up because, I mean, you still see him now. He's 6'3", like 170. He's still pretty small body-wise, but he's just got room to put on 10, 15 pounds or so in the NBA, get muscle on him. But his work with the left hand is very impressive. He's able to make excellent passes. The one that sticks out in my mind is, again, he switched over to his left hand and then fired a rocket down into the paint to his center, who just turned around and slammed it over somebody. So his ability to drop dimes like that, I think, is going to really excel him in the NBA.
What was crazy to me is he played on Zion's AAU team.
Yeah, he kind of got overlooked.
And
like
Murray
I said,
State like was where he ended up, which is rather crazy to me.
Just came and picked him out of South Carolina. But I want to say, I could be wrong. I'm going to look it up real quick. I want to say he was still a 4-star coming out of high school. Maybe a high 3. But yeah, him, that was a funny tidbit. Him being on Zion's AAU team and not really getting a whole lot of looks. Murray State having to come and pick him up out of South Carolina. Well, if my computer will load,
now he's the guy in Memphis. You know, they just traded Mike Conley. And so you would think Ja comes in leading the team. My biggest question for him is how efficient can he actually be? There was, he kind of did it all for Murray State last year. He averaged, 24 points, 10 assists. But he averaged 5 turnovers a game. Now, I know he had the ball way more than most point guards in college hoops last season. But can he be efficient? He took 16 shots a game last year. And again, I know he had to, or Murray State wouldn't have been in the NCAA tournament. But like to your point, he did shoot the 3 at 36%, and he took like almost 5 a game. So I think he'll do just fine as the number 2 pick. A lot of people are saying he has more pro potential or will have a better career than Zion.
Oh, whoa. He might have I don't know. Guards typically, I was going to say he might have a longer career, but no, guards typically don't age gracefully. You kind of saw it with D. Wade in the last couple of years. He's the same age as LeBron, and you can kind of see the difference, like, not last year because LeBron was hurt, but like the last few seasons, you can kind of see like the bigger guy. It's kind of the opposite of football. Like, really, it's. I want to say the 2 through 4 spots kind of have a really good longevity ability to keep their bodies not failing them. I want to say like not betraying them, keep their bodies up. Like, but yeah, guards don't typically age gracefully in the NBA because a lot of the times you see they rely on speed and. Ball handling skills, which ball handling isn't going to go away, but the speed will start to fall. Your legs kind of start to give out a little bit. You don't have electricity,
you just have more body to recover, you know?
Yeah.
When you're that big. Who was number 3, Ben?
RJ Barrett out of Duke as well.
Ooh.
RJ Barrett. See, I was in the camp before the season started that RJ was going to be better than Zion. He was the number one player coming out of high school. Zion was three. I saw Zion as, you can jump high and you can dunk. Oh, that's cool. You can block shots too. Oh. But I was like, RJ is a well-rounded player. He can shoot the three. He can drive. He can dunk. Like, he can play good defense. I looked at RJ as the more complete player now than Zion was, but then when Zion got on the court and just separated himself, it was clear that he was far and away the best player in the country. But RJ, I think, is going to be a good NBA player, a great NBA player. His son, he's like the nephew or the grandson of someone like a.
Steve Nash is his godfather.
Steve Nash is his godfather. Okay, yeah. But I mean, you could see like the Knicks fans that were there last night were ecstatic. Were ecstatic for RJ. I mean, whenever he left, they all kind of have their moment where they go and sit and sign autographs and kind of hang out with the fans for a little bit, which I think is kind of cool. You saw Zion doing it. Whenever RJ got up to go out of there, a horde of Knicks fans that were just taking up the Barclays Center last night, which I feel like the way the draft was set up, they probably should have had it in Madison Square Garden. But anyways, it was basically like half the arena left just to go sit and watch RJ sign autographs, do interviews, all of that. Next up, number four pick to my show hosts, Atlanta Hawks, John Reed's Atlanta Hawks, Cam Black's Atlanta Hawks, DeAndre Hunter out of Virginia. They got that pick from L.A., which we're going to get into all the trade nonsense from the NBA after the break here in a minute. I hate that we can't just go ahead and get these things done like in the NFL. They have to wait till July 6th. You got to wait 2 weeks just to get a trade through. You got guys wearing the wrong hats on stage. You got guys getting the wrong jerseys handed to them.
It's pretty embarrassing. It's like, for the NBA.
I don't like it. I'm sure it has like some meaning. Like, I'm sure John is going to come on and talk sports and make me sound like a moron for having this take, but I hate it. It was hard for me to keep up last night when all these trades are going through. But I'll tell you, Atlanta Hawks fans, they are excited about Hunter. They're excited about the other guy that got at 10, Cam Reddish. They said, like John was saying all night last night, oh, we basically traded Luka for Trey Young, DeAndre Hunter, and Cam Reddish. Yeah, I'll take that.
I guess when you put it that way.
And Rick, you know, Rick's just like, I'll take the rookie of the year. I'll take the rookie of the year. Luka's my guy. But, you know, I'm kind of with John. I think the Hawks got the better of this trade. We'll get into the NBA draft trades on the other side. We're going to try not to bog you too much more down with NBA. I'm kind of getting tired of it. I'm going to have to listen to 3 more hours of it when I get to talk sports. So we're going to move on to some stuff. We're going to learn about Will's life. We're going to learn about the women's soccer from Billy, probably. We might touch on some Tennessee stuff to keep you junkies happy. Stick with us. It's 3 and Out here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into 3 and Out. Ben Lee, Billy Wolford, and intern Will. I'm going to run down the rest of the top 10 real quick, and then we're going to get to Rod on the line. We had DeAndre Hunter at 4, Darius Garland out of Vanderbilt at 5 to the Cavs. Now they've got Garland and
Colin Sexton.
Colin Sexton, thank you. I blanked on his name for some reason. Jarrett Culver out of Texas Tech at 6 to the T-Wolves. They love his defensive ability. Coby White to the Bulls. People said that they remind him a lot of Jalen Rose for the Bulls. Just a relentless scorer, good on defense, kind of stuff like that. Jackson Hayes out of Texas to the Pelicans as well. don't know a whole lot about him. And the first ever Japanese player drafted in, I want to say, maybe in the NBA, maybe just the first round, maybe just the lottery. I'm not sure, but one of the first of his type, Ryu Hachimura. Ryu Hachimura.
Good. Yeah.
From Gonzaga. I believe that's the guy that Admiral Schofield said he can't effing guard me. And then as we just talked about, Cam Reddish at 10 to the Hawks in that Luka trade. Let's get to Rod. Rod wants to talk a little bit of NBA. Rod, what's going on?
Hello!
What's up, Rod?
Good morning, Rod. What's going on, man?
How are we doing this morning?
We're doing pretty good. I mean, Grant at 22, Admiral, all our boys got drafted, boy.
That's right. I tell you, though, that's the most, I don't really do the NBA very much. But, my God, that's the most confusing draft I've ever watched in my life.
That's what I was hearing.
Is Jordan Bone, where the hell did he end up?
He's in the Pistons. He's with Detroit.
Via New Orleans, via Atlanta, all the way to the Motor City, huh?
Yep. And then Admiral Schofield was to the Wizards via Miami, via Philadelphia, via Sacramento.
Fellas, why can't they just put up the logo of the team that's actually got the player?
That's what we're about to get into, Rod. I don't know. The draft rules or the trade rules in the NBA are a little bit different. For some reason, their free agency starts 2 weeks after the draft. It starts on July 6th for some reason. So that's when all these trades will technically be official. But, yeah, like, it doesn't really necessarily make sense for them to draft players for somebody else, basically. Like, the Lakers drafted DeAndre Hunter for the Hawks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you didn't get your boy John Reed to explain that one. I mean, that seems like a poorly run fantasy league or something. I mean, just make everything official and get that way the fans don't get all confused. I got confused after old Admiral got drafted. They kept throwing all the 76ers and everybody at the 76ers drafted. Well, heck, four of the players that they showed, three of them weren't even actually on the 76ers no more. I mean, I hated it. That was awful.
What they need to do is just have free agency open the same day as the draft. Now, it would be chaotic.
Or 2 days before or something.
But
like
you wouldn't get DeAndre Hunter walking up there in a Lakers hat when he's going to play for the Hawks.
Yeah, well.
What you got on the Blackshear news,
Rod?
Rod,
we need some Blackshear updates.
Well, what needs to hurt her name on the radio there in the break room over at the complex? And Gary said she got all tickled and I don't have really anything yet. Now, Gary's going to get working on it, but I tell you this, when I was watching last night and old P.J. Washington came on there and that big tall girl that was interviewing him and started asking him, and he started pumping Kentucky and how he went back and old Calipari got him ready for the draft, and that was the best decision that he made. Now, that got me a little worried, boys. I swear that Calipari's telling him to say that and pumping him just, you know, and they're going, you don't think Calipari's going to send a clip of what Washington said there to Blackshear, say, this could be you, come here, we'll make you lottery pick.
You think Calipari's doing some draft recruiting?
Go ahead, Benny.
I said, you think Calipari's doing some draft recruiting? Just send those guys up there. Let them.
I mean, gets all set up.
You know, Rod, I actually think it's good news for Tennessee that Blackshear hasn't already committed to Kentucky. Because if
I don't disagree with that, Billy.
I mean, if he loved them, don't you think he'd have been like, all right, yeah, let's do this. Let me throw on a blue and white jersey, let's take a picture.
I think every team that had him on campus was trying to do that, though. I mean, there was reports of us like, hey, why don't you just go ahead and lock it down? Let's just end this right now. Hey, you know, you like us, we like you. Hey, we love you. Let's go ahead and lock this down.
Yeah, but like as Rod was saying, it's Kentucky. You know, like
I do like the fact that it's basically come out like, hey, it's Tennessee or Kentucky. Like it's kind of been floated out there that A&M was kind of to just show Buzz Williams some respect, like, hey, you are my coach, you're my guy, I'll give you a visit, we'll check it out, but it's probably going to be these other two higher tier teams. Rod, it kind of sounds like you haven't let the party stop from last night. You've been drinking?
I don't know, but I've been working on a farm all morning, buddy. I'm going down to the beach next week. I got Ronaldo here going to work on the farm for me. No, I ain't been in the barn this morning. Not doing that, but where's the blowfish and the Godfather?
Which one's the blowfish? Oh, I guess Nate's the Godfather. Well, Nate's on vacation. Nate took a trip out to the beach. He headed out last night, I believe. And Houston doesn't do shows without Nate. I think he's afraid. Just my opinion. I don't know. Every time Nate's out,
it'd be hard for him to. He probably ain't good enough to pull everybody with him, brother. Boys, you're just doing good this morning, Billy. Love you. We'll talk to you later.
Love you,
Rod.
Have
a good day, Rod. Good guy. Like Rod. He doesn't call.
Not many better than Rod.
We don't take calls on Talk Sports. It's kind of John's thing. He's like, I hate callers, but Rod was fun. That first little bit, I could have swore he had just kind of kept the party rolling from the draft last night.
Rod gets up early, man.
He was grinding, apparently, so he's out on the farm. Ronaldo.
Every morning. But he brought up a good point.
He's got Swiper Boy on the farm.
About how the NBA can't get this right. And you would think a league as big as the NBA could just have 100 Atlanta Hawks hats. Okay, 60, I guess, since there are 60 draft picks. And it wouldn't.
I don't think even need that many.
I think you look and you're like.
But they could do it. Let's do five. Like five or six, maybe 10. Like 10 max. Like let's just 10 hats of everybody. You could even leave it as proposed trade.
Right.
Just give them the right equipment. Just be like, look, we know the Lakers drafted you, but you're actually going to end up in Atlanta in 2 weeks. You're not actually even going to step foot in the Lakers complex. They don't want you. They don't actually want you. So, yeah, it doesn't make sense. And maybe it's too close to the end of the regular season. It's too close to the finals or whatever for free agency to just fire up. I mean, as we saw, we had two all-stars, two superstars, one superstar, one all-star, however you want to break it down, KD and Klay, both go down in the finals. So you don't want to potentially hurt them by moving free agency up and kind of forcing teams to be like, I guess we'll pay you $30 million to sit on the bench for a year and come back 80 to 90% as you were, not ever going to be the same. So I kind of understand pushing it back, but not allowing these players, these teams, to go ahead and just get the right stuff. Like I did not like that DeAndre Hunter went up with a Lakers hat. I didn't like that. Every time there was a trade, Bear would be like, who's this pick going to now? I'm like, dude, keep up. It's like I was able to keep up because I was kind of paying attention and you know, whatever. But it was hard to follow with, especially when you get down into the second round and there's 3-4 team trades. Like we said with Admiral, it was the Sacramento pick that went to Miami and then went to Philadelphia. And now it's with the Wizards. It doesn't make sense to do it like that. Just let them go ahead, get the right team, the right jersey. Let them celebrate with the right people. Don't force them to wear a Lakers hat. Don't make them, you know, wear whatever just because it was so-and-so's pick. It shouldn't work like that. It should just be this is your team's player that you drafted. They should be able to celebrate it like that. Immediately. I mean, it was just as, okay, like I can point to the Grant Williams pick at 22. Brandon Orick is a Celtics fan. So we were in there. We were kind of joking around. Like he was like, I'd like Bol Bol. I want a big guy. And the whole night we were kind of joking. Yes, Bol Bol, Bol Bol. Because we just think his name's funny and he's so tall. It's kind of goofy looking. But, whenever Grant got picked, and it's he's going to be a Celtic, and he gets to wear that Celtic hat, you just see the green flashed up everywhere. That was a moment of pure elation for Brandon. Just to look around and all of us go, let's go! Like, we are screaming, like, you know, obscenities flying. Like, it was bad. Like, I mean, it wasn't bad, but, like, you know, you look over at Brandon, and he was almost red in the face. He was so happy. Like, he jumped out of his chair. I feel like you kind of take that away from some of these guys. You kind of take that away from some of these guys whenever you don't let these trades go through the night of, don't let them get the right hat. they're not getting the right information basically the night of. I kind of don't like that. Got to hit a break. Going to come back on the other side. I think we're going to finally dismount from the NBA. You guys can finally breathe a sigh of relief. I'm kind of done with it. We're going to move on. Got a tweet in about Cal. Going to get to that on the other side about the draft. This is 3 and Out on Fox Sports Knoxville.
You're listening to 3 and Out.
Talking again on 3 and Out on the airwaves. Back on the program. Got Billy Wilford to my right. Will, the intern, way over there. Where are we gonna go now? I feel like we got some stuff to do. Let's pay some bills, I guess. Davey Hudson, former Gold's Gym winner. What is it? You do this. Like, do your Nate thing.
Nate usually says something about Gold's Gym, how awesome it is, how you can go work out. They have all these classes that you can sign up for. They're always running promotions.
Love
50%
Gold's
off.
Gym.
Bring your best friend for free. They always do great things. So Nate usually runs down something like that. Just
okay.
Saying how great Gold's
Love
Gym
Gold's
is.
Love Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
I work out there all the time. Typically, what's your recovery days look like? Like, does it depend on, like, what you do? How many days you take to recover? Sometimes, like, mine is, like, depending on what I do, like, 3 to 4 months.
Okay. Well, that's probably... You need to listen to these tips. And so Nate would say, and now we're going to kick it to Davey Hudson, the 12-week...
Former
Gold's Gym 12-week challenge winner.
For today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day, watch the clock to lose weight. In the past, I know I've given some studies that pertain to men, but I wanted to make sure to let the lady listeners and viewers of Fan Run Radio get in on the action as well. And a study from the Journal of the American Medical Association said that women who rack up at least 200 cardio minutes a week for 18 months lost nearly 14% of their total body weight. And those who accumulated fewer than 150 minutes reduced their weight by less than 5%. And that is today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day.
I want to point out that I kind of called Davey out for always just kind of doing nutritional tips and not really fitness tips. Since then, he's actually gotten into the working out. That was a good one.
Yeah, there you go. There's your Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day.
There's always
from
like
Davey Hudson.
If you work out, drink chocolate milk afterwards.
Like, which is a good, it's a good tip.
Everyone knows that. If I know it, I'm fairly certain most people know it. And as I said, my recovery days, depending on the workout, 3 to 4 months.
That's a lot of chocolate milk.
That's a lot of chocolate milk. Gotta just cram it. I love chocolate milk. One of my favorite drinks. Will, you like chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk is the best childhood beverage. Of all time,
it's the best childhood beverage.
Yeah,
I bet you don't drink applesauce or not apple juice now either, huh?
No, I do drink apple juice every now and then.
Okay, this isn't intern Will's segment. Let's.
I'm trying to kind of feel Will out right now. At some point, I'm gonna really get into the nitty gritty of Will. I gotta figure out. I knew Will back in the day.
We do go back.
Let's see. What? You're a senior. You just graduated.
I'm going to
going
be a
to senior. Be a senior. So I was like in freshman or sophomore in high school, and Will was like sixth or seventh grade. And we went to church together. We'd always play basketball and football and stuff on the youth trip retreats. Will, little mini athlete. Many people didn't trust Will. I said, I want that kid on my team. Used to just drop dimes to him deep. I said, just go run, do your thing. I got you.
I'm quite the athlete, not anymore. But
Tweeter says chocolate milk is awful for you. It's fantastic, but so much sugar. I don't know. This might just be a fallacy that we've been just spreading all along. What are those things called? Just like kind of like an urban legend. Just like we just kind of just took this to be true.
You just go with it because everyone's just always been it.
Everyone said it, so that's what it must be. See if we can't get any more info on that. Do we have anything left of the NBA draft? Like, you got anything you want to hit on right before? We got 3 or 4 minutes or so before the hour. Kind of got some leeway here.
A couple of SEC guys that people are probably familiar with. PJ Washington went 12 to the Hornets. Tyler Hero went 13, which surprised me that he went that early. I know he's, 94% from the free throw line. So, I mean, that definitely translates to the next level. He can shoot the three. I thought 13 was a little high for him. Chumo Kiki went 16. No, he tore his ACL.
That was stunning to me.
The NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah. Like he, I think it was the NCAA tournament. That or the SEC tournament. I mean, it was late in the season. Like, he'll miss all of next year. Or at least until, let's see, he injured in March. The season's going to fire up around October. He'll be gone until about January or February. He'll be gone until about the All-Star break, I'd say.
He went 16 to the Magic. Carson Edwards, a guy that Tennessee fans love.
Define love.
Okay.
I don't think you.
Tennessee fans hate. went 33rd to the Celtics. Do you think him and Grant Williams will have any conversations next year about buddy?
You think he'll actually call him out?
You got lucky.
You think he'll actually call him out like, hey, you kicked your leg out?
Nah, man, they're teammates now, man.
I might. I'd be like, come on.
To break the ice.
I would. I'd just be like, hey, come on. You kicked your leg out, didn't you? That wasn't a foul. And if he says yeah, I'm like, okay, then we're good. If he says no, trade me. I'm demanding a trade instantly. I can't work with this guy.
Daniel Gafford of Arkansas, big man, the guy that really carried the load for the Razorbacks last season, went 38 to the Bulls. That's somewhere that I had pinned Schofield to go.
The Bulls?
Yeah. Chicago guy. They kind of need help everywhere, so you could have made the argument that anyone could have.
That was one of the funnier things watching the draft, was like seeing like team needs, because as soon as the third pick came up, and you know it's going to be RJ, it's the Knicks, whatever, it pops up, team needs. Literally just said everything. Didn't have a breakdown, didn't have position by position, didn't write down like, you know, point guard, shooting guard. Just said everything. Like, bench players too. Just please, God, help us. We need something. We need somebody.
Where was I? Oh, Q Weatherspoon. I thought this was cool. He got drafted by the Spurs. That's a really good fit, in my opinion.
I don't know anything about Q
from
Weatherspoon.
From Mississippi State.
Will, if you've got input, let's hear it.
It's a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, he's... He was a great guard throughout his career. He can shoot the three. He didn't play well against Tennessee.
Straight to the point, I like it.
Yeah. Will Dynamite drop in there, buddy. Appreciate it.
Good fit.
Tremont Waters, 51st to the Celtics. So if you're keeping up with it, the Celtics got Waters, Edwards, Williams, and Romeo Langford from Indiana. I think that's probably one of the best drafts in this season.
Which is kind of against character for the Celtics, because I saw a stat last night that I feel kind of bad saying it, but apparently they had drafted more players that had died than had made the NBA All-Star.
Oh, wow.
The NBA All-Star team, which was one. One player has passed away and zero have made it to the NBA All-Star in the last, like, 10 years or something like that. I've got a quick tweet, kind of going back to the Blackshear stuff. SoxandTN tweets in, "Did you see the video of Cal walking to the plane for the draft right after Blackshear's visit? Even that was draft recruiting. It does hurt him that Reed Travis didn't get drafted." Yeah, you're right. I actually didn't see that video, but that apparently, if that is true, then that's some BDE, as they say these days. Some big energy. I mean, to just go ahead and be like, all right, thanks for the visit. Have a good time. I got to go to the draft. I got a couple players going in the first round. I got to go handle. That's a strong move by Cal. That'll do it for hour two. We got hour three coming up. Gonna finally get into what makes Will Will.
Some football news out there.
We've got a little bit of football, a little bit of recruiting news.
MLB's thinking about.
We're not gonna talk about that.
All of that is more important than me. So go ahead and talk.
No,
about
we're
that.
Gonna get to that probably at the night. Like we'll probably finish the show kind of off the rails. Hour three is gonna be Talk Sports comes to Three and Out. I'm gonna make this the Talk Sports 3 and Out show. Stick with us. It's Fox Sports Knoxville.